Chapter 10. They caught one small break. There turned out to be security footage in Marshport of Paul coming out of the First Episcopal Church on Saturday night. Jesse had called the chief there, Captain John Kyle, who told Jesse they had a camera set up at one of their new substations across the street. The picture of Paul's face was clear enough that Jesse allowed Nellie Schaffner to put it up on the Crier website on Wednesday night, trying to make something happen, get them in the game. Now it was Thursday afternoon, and they still had no hits from any of the agencies Molly and Suit had contacted. No missing persons report filed on a white male in the whole state since Sunday. "We're reaching the point where we may need some help from the universe," Molly said. "Is there a number we can call for that?" Jesse said. "On it," Molly said. They'd been eating lunch at his desk, just the two of them. Like an old married couple, he thought. Molly said that Nellie Schaffner had called again an hour before, asking if there were any developments in the case. Nellie still didn't know they had a first name on the victim, and was still calling him John Doe. Molly asked Jesse now if he knew the expression had started with plaintiffs in property cases. He told her he did not. "Your head ever feel full, all that useless information stored up there?" he said. "Just because you didn't know doesn't make it useless," Molly said. "You're just jealous." "Often," Jesse said. "What did you tell Nellie?" "That the investigation was ongoing," Molly said. "She told me that I was getting almost as good at saying nothing as you are."
"Less is more," Jesse said.
"A lot less in your case," Molly said. "A whole lot less." Jesse knew how these things worked. You just kept pulling on strings. Occasionally, the universe did intervene, and a string got pulled for you. He remembered another case, a floater they'd found off Stiles Island, a woman who'd been in the water a while. Florence Horvath, her name was. It took some time identifying her, too. Turned out she had rented a boat at Ned's Cove and never returned it. But the owner had a credit card on file and a picture of her driver's license. Then the boat turned up at another yard in the harbor. It turned out to be one of the saddest cases he'd ever worked. The woman killed by the father who'd been abusing her since she was a child. There was your fucking universe for you right there. But the finding out, the figuring out, the grunt work and grind, sometimes started with something as random as the guy from the boatyard showing up at the station. And then you were in the game. Jesse had met the victim this time, but didn't know who he was. Somebody did. Matter of time, he kept telling himself, even as he felt they were losing valuable time. Things got late early, but he'd done this kind of work plenty of times before. He knew how good he was at it. Wondered sometimes where his skill set could have taken him, in L.A. if he hadn't drunk himself out of town. Or maybe he was supposed to end up here. Maybe this was who he was, and all he was, and where he belonged. It was nearly 5 in the afternoon. His door was open, as usual. Molly still gave a rap on the frame to announce herself before poking her head in. "Got a woman to see you," Molly said. "She saw the picture of Paul on the website. Says she knows him." Her name was Ellen Shanyon. She said she was up in Boston from Florida, attending a bachelorette party for an old friend. "Where in Florida?" Jesse said.
"Wellington."
"Where's that?" he said.
"West of West Palm."
She wore her red hair short, had a lot of freckles that she didn't try to hide with makeup, was small, but with a nice figure. More than a nice figure. Her pale green t-shirt showed off what Jesse, as a trained investigator, thought were amazing breasts. They looked real, even though it was getting harder and harder for him to tell. The t-shirt also set off the red hair nicely, a darker shade of green than the eyes. She wore white jeans, tighter than the t-shirt, which was saying plenty, and sandals. Apple Watch, no rings. He thought she was in her 20s, maybe 30s. Young, anyway. But the whole world was looking younger and younger to Jesse. Sonny said it was happening to her, too.
She said you woke up one day and the kid from UPS was mamming you.
I bartend in Wellington, a place called Ollie's, she said. Paul used to come in a couple of nights a week, sometimes more.
You ever get a last name?
She shook her head. He was just Paul.
Like an AA meeting, Jesse thought. Just in a bar, first names only.
How'd he pay?
She let out some air.
Wow, she said. It was last winter, I think cash.
Never a credit card?
Might have, she said. There's probably a way to check, even though nobody ever asked me to.
I can, Jesse said.
She was in one of the chairs across from Jesse, and nervous, Jesse could see, busy with her hands, giving the appearance of constant motion, even sitting down. Her fingernails were an even brighter green than her t-shirt. A couple times he saw her stop herself from chewing on a thumbnail, probably worried it would ruin her manicure. He'd asked Sonny Randall once if she'd ever chewed her nails, and she put out her hands, showing off her own latest manicure, and said, "Not anymore." Most people, Jesse knew, went their whole lives without ever sitting in a police station for a conversation like this about a murder. It was showing now with Ellen Shannon.
"How did he die?" she said. "It didn't say in the story."
No reason not to tell her.
"He was shot," Jesse said.
"Jesus," she said. "Somebody shot him?"
"They did."
"Was it like a robbery or something?"
"To be determined," he said. He smiled. Amiable Jesse, small town chief, putting his visitor at ease. And a pretty hot visitor at that.
He asked if she had any idea what Paul did for a living.
"He said he worked with horses," she said. "A groom, maybe?"
"Wellington is pretty big horse country."
"I thought Central Florida was horse country," Jesse said.
"It is," she said. "But we've got one of the biggest equestrian festivals in the country. In Wellington, I mean. Starts in December and goes all the way to April."
"So there's barns there?"
"A bunch. Most of them over near the show."
"He ever mention which one?" Jesse said. She shook her head. "He ever mention whether he lived in Wellington or just worked there?"
"He actually did one night," she said. "He said he lived where he worked. Said it was a short commute to the stalls every morning."
"But not which barn?"
"It wouldn't have meant much to me if he had," she said. "One ear and out the other. The only horses I care about are the ones carrying around polo players with accents and riding pants." She smiled. Jesse smiled.
"He drank a lot when he was at your bar?" Jesse said.
"It's not a juice bar," she said.
"The reason I ask," Jesse said, "is that I happened to meet him at an AA meeting the night he died."
"You're AA?" she said.
"I am," he said.
"But you're the chief of police."
"They like me a lot better now that I'm sober." She tilted her head and smiled again, more with her eyes this time.
"And me a bartender," she said.
Jesse smiled.
"You ever remember seeing Paul drunk?"
"He'd come in on Fridays sometimes," she said. "Happy hour. I told him one time he didn't seem too happy, but drunk? I don't ever remember him falling out of there, if that's what you mean."
"Anything else he ever said that you think might help me find out more about him?" Jesse said. "Find out who he really is, or was?"
She steepled her fingers under her chin. She had nice hands. Jesse noticed people's hands. Sonny had beautiful hands. He was thinking about her more and more these days.
"It was usually crowded," she said. "He was just one of those guys, you know. He acted alone, even with people all around him."
"I know the type," Jesse said. "I was the type," he thought.
"I wish I could help more," she said.
"You've helped more than you realize," Jesse said. "It was nice of you to make the trip up here."
"I guess I just didn't think it was something you just called in," she said. "Man, it's creepy seeing a picture of someone you know like that and finding out he's dead."
Jesse stood and came around the desk. She stood. He thanked her again for calling. She was smiling at him again. They stood facing each other. Someone walking into his office, like Molly,
might have suggested Ellen Chagnon had invaded Jesse's personal space. It just didn't feel like an invasion.
"I was going to offer to buy you a drink," she said. "But that's kind of off the table, huh?"
"It's a nice offer," he said. "But it looks like I'm going to be jammed up on this for a while."
"Can't blame a girl for trying," Ellen Chagnon said.
"I never have," Jesse said.